from a Dublin point of view, this is probably as exciting as it's been for the National League. You've got a new manager, high hopes, and that bit of support as well in terms of commercially. So what's the excitement like within that Dublin camp at the moment?
Look, we've had 13 new players into the squad this year. 13 new players, first chance to play senior with Dublin. And that's a huge thing. And we have 15 players who've been around for the last 2 years. So David Herity, former Kilkenny hurler, obviously, is our new manager. And he spent the last 2 months marrying the old and the new. And I think he's done an incredible job in that short space of time even. So we've come into the league really well prepared, you know, and really looking forward to what Cork are going to throw at us, because obviously they're our first game. And it's my first time going back to Cork to play in Cork, having joined Dublin. So I'm expecting a very warm welcome from the Cork girls.
By warm, I'm sure you mean a little bit cold as well.
I mean, yes, possibly. They'll be very much looking forward to seeing me, yeah.
You'll get some extra special attention. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. But first, maybe a bit about David. How different is he as a manager than the coach selector he had been?
So obviously it's much more hands-on this year in that he's in the driving seat. And what he's brought this year is a clarity of play from the outset. We've been working with Shane O'Brien for the last 2 years and he changed the culture, you know. We understood from working with Shane the level of commitment that was required to be an inter-county player. And now with David this year, it's about actually, I suppose, clarifying how we want to train as a team. And it falls back into the style of play that Littlewoods Ireland are looking to impress upon the league. We now are finding our own style of play with David, and he's been bringing that in for the last 2 months, you know.
Was it a natural enough transition that maybe Shane had brought you guys as far as he was going to bring you, and it was right for him maybe to allow a fresh voice to take centre stage? Was it something that when it came, it seemed like it was for the good of Dublin Camogie?
Well, look, we had been with Shane for 2 years, and I know he'd been there the year previous to me joining as well. So his commitment of 3 years was massive. And for him as well, he's gone to Aldabala in Wexford, the men's team. And it's great to see a Camogie manager go to a men's team afterwards, and such, you know, a very successful men's team at that, Aldabala. So I know he's going to relish the challenge there. And now we have a fresh voice in David coming in, being the leader for us, for our squad. So change is good, you know, it's great.
You talked about the professionalism and maybe the understanding of the commitment to be a top side that was brought by Shane O'Brien. What has David Herity brought so far? Has he made any kind of immediate impact? I know in terms of competitive games, you don't have many under your belt just yet.
So the big thing with David is the intensity, and it's the intensity to everything. So it's not just the intensity to your game, but it's the intensity that he expects you to bring to every drill, every exercise that you do. If you're not doing it at 100%, then it's not good enough, you know. And I think that's a really important thing as Camogie players, and probably from my own experience of playing over the years, I tend not to switch on during training, and that's not acceptable to David. Everything you do in training, you will replicate on the field. So he expects you to be as tuned in and as focused for a drill as he does for championship. So I'm much more tuned in than I ever was in previous years.
Is that a little bit harder at this time of year as well, particularly when you've got some heavy pitches? And I mean, we all want to peak, I'm sure, at a certain time of the year, and it's usually the summer for you guys. So how hard is it to dig deep and find that intensity in the middle of January / early February?
Well, look, there's a big prize on offer, you know. I want to go to Cork, and I want to wear the jersey playing against Cork in Cork, and I haven't earned the right under David to wear the jersey. So from the outset, you're trying to impress him and you're trying to win your jersey. You know, the slate has been wiped clean. It doesn't matter what we've won or what goals we've scored in previous years. That's of no relevance to him. He wants to see that you want to wear the jersey now. So that's where the engine is coming from everyone, or the excitement is. And that's where the drive comes from, to actually wear the jersey for him and to actually earn it, because he'll make you earn it.
We on the outside of sport, who spend more time talking about it than playing it, we're told all the time, Sarah, about small margins. And I suppose you guys are the personification of small margins, because scoring difference kept you out of a championship quarterfinal last year. I mean, it just goes to show the level of competitiveness and how high it is and how hard it is really to be successful in the top competitions, doesn't it?
Yes, and every year that you think that you've done a better job or that you're closer to the summit, the people who are ahead of you have done a bigger job. You know what I mean? You forget that, yes, you've improved fitness-wise or skill level-wise, but the other teams who were ahead of you have also improved. So you're always trying to claw back that margin that's there. You know, you can never rest on your laurels, and you can't think just because you've put in a superior effort that nobody else has. Everybody's looking at what everybody else is doing, and then they're doing a bit more, you know.
You know what it takes to win an All-Ireland. You've done it at senior level, junior level. What's missing in that Dublin dressing room? Are the players around you good enough to win an All-Ireland?
Certainly, from my experience of the last 3 years, players are there. There's a belief there that was absent in previous years. And look, that comes from, you know, going to Cork in 2014 and losing by 37 points. Like, that's obviously going to give players, you know, suck the life out of players, you know, in one sense. And when Shane came in after that drubbing by Cork in 2014, the following year, pretty much 5 months later in February, we lost to Cork by 5 points. And that was a 32-point turnaround in the space of 5 months, you know. And from that point, I think that's where things have started to go up, and we've been on an upward curve since. So that belief has been growing and growing and growing in the last 2 years. But if you look at Waterford in the hurling, you know, the men's hurling, it's kind of like that. You know, you're getting better every year, but Kilkenny are getting better and Tipper are getting better. So you keep having to try and improve to reach it, you know.
I mean, does it say an awful lot about your standards as a team that, you know, almost making the semi-finals in 2015 was seen as not quite enough, almost making the quarterfinals, just missing out on scoring difference in 2016 was not enough? Does it say an awful lot about what you guys are trying to do that despite the fact you have made progress in the last 2 years, it's still seen as not good enough, first and foremost, in-house in your camp?
It wasn't good enough because both days, the day in Wexford, we feel like we left it behind us. You know, that day we had obviously turned around 6 hours after winning in Semple Stadium. We went out to beat Wexford, and Wexford were obviously coming in fresh, having not played for a couple of weeks. And with, you know, 5 minutes to go, we were just a point down. And we could have won it, and that wasn't good enough. And against Derry, we scored 6-14, and we should have scored more. The Derry keeper had the game of her life, and we should have been cuter, you know what I mean? So again, that day we walked away after scoring 23 points. And not feeling like it was enough. So maybe that's just an indication, as you said, of our expectation for ourselves now because of the belief that we've had because of the results we've been getting the last couple of years.
When you switch between the red jersey of Cork and the sky blue of Dublin, have you had to change your mindset? Because I know in Cork every year they have the highest hopes of winning, and it's almost seen like an expectation. That is what they set out to do. Is that the mindset you've had at Dublin, or have you had to maybe change your expectations to match what is around you?
Well, when I was playing with Cork, I was in an incredibly lucky position that I was going into a team that the foundation was there. So you had players like Mary O'Connor, Anna Geary, Breach Corkery, Rena Buckley, Gemma O'Connor. The list goes on. It's as long as my arm. These were players who were used to winning, and you went in as a player who was kind of, you were like a tiny piece of the jigsaw, and you slotted in where you could slot in. Whereas with Dublin, we went in and it was a completely new canvas. So there wasn't as many parts of the jigsaw visible. And they've been slowly coming to the fore in the last couple of years. So yeah, you have to work with what's there. But certainly it's been really exciting to be part of something that's growing, in the same way that it was very exciting to try and commit or contribute in Cork when I could, you know.
Do you see the same ability there? I know you feel that there is an All-Ireland in Dublin. Do you think they're as good as that Cork team? Is there many that will ever be as good as that Cork team?
That Cork team was, like, I suppose, just from my own experience of them, the likes of Jenny O'Leary, the likes of Anna Geary, the likes of Breach, Rena. I don't know, like, obviously there's cycles of play and there's cycles of players. I don't know if there'll be players who will be as successful as those players were. But certainly if you look at the ladies' football in Dublin and how quickly they've turned it around and how they've become such an incredible force, I don't see why Dublin Camogie can't do the exact same thing. You know, it's about committing to structures and committing to standards, and that's where they've started to do the right thing, is commit to structure and commit to standards. So yeah, we can go anywhere.
I get the sense that you're talking about commitment and it has improved. And in terms of the hours you put in, the setup is an awful lot more professional than maybe would be in years gone by. And you might in a lot of ways mirror what would be a men's inter-county team. Is there still a massive drop off between the perks and the privileges that are afforded to the Dublin men's senior hurling team and what you guys are getting?
No, I was actually asked this question today. We train in DCU on a Tuesday night, and the Dublin senior hurlers train alongside us. We eat the same foods. We train in the same pitches. We go to Abbottstown on a Friday. We train alongside the Dublin senior hurlers on a Friday in Abbottstown. They use the skill wall from 6 to 7, and then we go in and use it from 7 to 8. There is very, very little difference between us now. And that's what's really exciting. You know, we're being given the same opportunities as them. Now, it mightn't be the same in other counties, and let's be honest, it's not. But certainly in Dublin, from where I'm sitting, I'm really enjoying being taken on a level playing field with those guys, you know.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's great to hear, because even we had Sinead Goldrick on, that's probably a year ago at this stage, but she was talking quite frankly about how, you know, they don't get hot meals after dinner with the Dublin senior women's footballers, and they don't get proper mileage for coming to training. So it's nice to hear that you guys don't have the same issues, that you seem to be on par and treated with the same respect, and I suppose the same privileges needed to go about and trying to be a successful intercounty setup. Has it always been like that, or is that a particularly new endeavour to kind of make sure you guys are as well looked after? Is that something that came with Shane trying to professionalise it and trying to make it better, to try to get the best out of you guys? He obviously wants to get the best for you guys from the county board and stuff.
Yeah, and but look, and from that same task, the county board wants the exact same for us as they do for the men's teams, you know. So when Shane came in, he worked incredibly well with the county board to get the facilities that we were getting and the pitches that we were getting. And then this year when David came in, obviously Dave asked us, you know, in terms of our preparation, what things we needed. So, you know, we outlined the protein after games, food after games. Now, critically, it's not financially viable for us to have a hot meal every night after training, but we have a hot meal every Tuesday after training. Do you know what I mean?
Which is what the hurlers are getting as well. So you're...
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? So granted, there mightn't be the same level of money involved, but every Tuesday night after training, we get fed, you know, and the lads get fed the same time as us. So certainly the margins are getting much smaller, and you're starting to meet the professionalism that the lads are getting. And that comes from the county board and not just from the management. You know, everyone's trying to work towards the one goal.
And what's kind of the mood with the addressing the imbalance? Was it something that you guys maybe had to fight for, or was it something the county board were happy to meet you with halfway?
Oh, look, to be honest, this was driven by the county board. So Pat Martin, who's the chairperson of the county board for Dublin, since I've come on board, has been instrumental in leading all of this. You know, Pat's an incredibly kind man, and like my first ever bunch of flowers I got from Pat Martin. So I was nominated for an All-Star in 2015, and a beautiful big bunch of flowers arrived to my apartment to say congratulations on behalf of Dublin Camogie. And, you know, he's the same guy who arrived onto our bus after a game. I think it was in Offaly, 28 Easter eggs for Easter, and handed them all out to us on the team bus. Look, you know, they work with what they have, and now they have more, I suppose, money available, and they're pouring it into the teams, not just us, but into the minor teams, the under 16 team, the junior premier team. And that's really exciting that they want to give everybody as much as they can.
I know a lot of GAA players across all codes try to look at summers and ring dates of the summer, but on your calendar today, there's probably a big red ring around February 18th. That's the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, because it'll give us an idea of exactly where we are. So in previous years, Cork Camogie wouldn't have gone back to the league and taken it as seriously as other teams. And this year, I suppose it's probably based on them losing the All-Ireland final to Kilkenny, they've actually been back training since the start of December. Now, this would possibly seem ominous, you know, in terms of what they're going to bring to the game on the 18th. But I also think it'll be a fair reflection for us then of where exactly we are and how much work we'll have to do for the championship in the summer. So I'm glad we're going to be meeting them at their best on February 18th, because we know exactly where we are and how much work we'll have to do to actually compete in the championship in the summer.
Yeah, Kilkenny, obviously the reigning champions, championship and league. I mean, they're a really formidable side. And when you even look at the group you've got Cork, Kilkenny, Tip. It's a really tough task, but probably the best way to get into any kind of league campaign is test yourself against the best.
Well, look, as I said earlier about the 13 new players coming in, I think it would be remiss of us not to be naive with them in terms of how hard it is and the step up from league to championship. So the better prepared other teams are against us in the National League, the better understanding our players will have of how hard we're going to have to work between now and June to get up to that championship pace. So as far as I'm concerned, I think the harder it is now at this time of the year, the better it'll be for us in the long run.
How do you prepare yourself mentally to try and beat Cork? It must be the most alien thing in the world.
Yeah, I haven't had to do it that often. Obviously, that the last time we played Cork was in February in Parnell Park, 2015, and we lost by 5 points. And at the time, as I said, there was a 32-point turnaround. It was weird that day because I was playing against players who I've won in All-Ireland with, so Breach Cork and Orla Cotter. But I think they understand as well that I want to play sport for as long as I can play and I want to be as competitive for as long as I can. So, you know, we all just want to win our own position and win the game. And it just happens to be that I'll be playing against my old teammates.
Does it still feel weird when you look down and you see the colour of your jersey and it's not quite the right colour?
Yeah, it does. I know, but look, I played with Cork for, you know, 15 years before I took a break. And now I'm with Dublin 3, so that's a long time to play with the team, you know, and to win so much with them as well. So I have all of these memories that are in red, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy the wins as much in the Dublin colours? Are they as enjoyable? Are the losses as hard to take? Have you become a Dub in this time?
Well, look, you know, it's about the team and the team that's around you. And in terms of my own feeling of the players that I've been with, the last 3 years has been phenomenal. Like the bunch of girls that I've got to play with over the last 3 years that I would have never met if I hadn't joined the Dublin team. And sometimes you have to open yourself up to new experiences, even if they don't necessarily sit well, or, you know, if they're outside of the norm. Like getting to play with Louise O'Hara, who's an institution in Camogie. She was, you know, Dublin player of the decade. And I get to say that I got to play with her for 2 years. All of those things have happened because I joined Dublin. And we've had some incredible days, like the day we beat Clare in Semple Stadium. The amount of media coverage around the game meant that it actually got as much coverage as a men's game on that day, and we were on the right side of the result. So there was just so much support that day that it was one of the best wins of my career, I think, to be honest.
And thank God there was a game that day and not a coin toss.
Yeah, and that's so funny because I had spent 8 months, you know, committing to Dublin Camogie, and I couldn't believe before that this was all was how it was going to end, you know. So to be able to go out to play in Thurles, because it's the home of hurling, and get to win, oh, it's one of the best days.
Well, look, we hope that there'll be more great days ahead of you, and maybe you get that feeling of winning in All-Ireland, but you'll do it in blue. Sarah O'Donovan, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Darren. Talk to you again.